The sun has set, the air is cold. Something moves beyond the clearing. A faint whisper, a heavy footstep. Something's getting close. But have no fear, you should be safe. The campfire is going strong. Gather round, but be warned, they come before dawn.
Good evening, dear listeners, and welcome to They Come Before Dawn. I am your host, Lawrence.
And I am your co-host, Ray.
On this night's episode, we'll be talking about the Subaltern Man. Good evening, Ray.
Hello, Lawrence.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good as well.
Yeah?
I'm a bit nervous because you wanted to tell me something. Yeah. Something specifically that you kept on the episode.
Indeed.
Something about your house.
Exactly. Now, this is probably going to be a part one because I don't know the details yet. So in the last episode about the Winchester house, we talked about, you know, secret rooms and stuff. And I mentioned that I'm moving soon. Did I mention it?
Yeah, I think I mentioned that you did.
And it would be so funny to find a secret room. Well, guess what?
You found a secret room.
I found a secret room.
If you mean... Okay, you found a secret room.
I did. So
but you're the sale isn't fine. I mean, you're gonna buy the house, but you're not currently.
We're not official owners yet.
You're not. Indeed. You don't have access to the house.
Exactly.
Yet.
Yeah. So I mean, we did have access, so we had the keys because some workers had to come.
Previous owners don't live there yet anymore.
No, they don't.
Okay.
So we're not able to access the secret room yet. I'm not sure if I. I mean, I guess I do want to. It's just, it's gonna be disgusting. It's probably gonna be full of spiders.
Yeah.
But it is something that, yeah, we are going to do once we move in.
Okay, but...
Okay, so...
What the hell? What secret room?
Okay, so... there was someone who needed to come for the roof, to check, you know, for the roof. And we, my boyfriend and I were there a little bit earlier. And we're just like saying, oh, it's actually not a really big roof. It's probably not gonna cost that much. And then suddenly my boyfriend turns around and he says, there's another roof over there on top of like where the kitchen is. So the kitchen and bathroom is like, if the house would be a square, the bathroom and kitchen are like a side building, but still attached to the house.
Yeah. Okay. So
I don't know if I can explain it better. So in my mind, how I remembered it, the roof was flat, but turns out it's not
a roof, but it's not a single roof.
It's not. It's a rectangular roof, you know, like a roof. So we were like, huh? Then what is above the kitchen? And we were like, okay, you know, probably nothing. So we went downstairs and then I looked in the kitchen and I saw in the ceiling, I mean, I didn't really look at the ceiling before. I saw in the ceiling a square.
A trap door.
Cut out.
Wow.
So we can access it.
So there's probably like an attic above.
Yeah.
A separate attic above the kitchen.
Exactly. Like a really small attic. I mean, there's probably nothing there but insects. But still.
You're not sure. You haven't accessed it yet.
No. I mean, has anyone accessed it since it was built in 1932?
I mean, you're gonna keep us updated.
I definitely
will.
So
I'm very curious.
I definitely will. Maybe we can do this for our YouTube channel.
Yeah, perhaps we can film it. We'll see what we do with it.
Mm-hmm.
We could always make a shitty TikTok about it.
Exactly.
Secret room in the house, and it's obviously nothing then.
I mean, obviously I was gonna put it on TikTok, but we can also put it on...
on TikTok. We don't even have a TikTok yet.
No, but I have a TikTok. I'm just gonna
put it on TikTok. Okay.
But we can put it on our YouTube channel.
Yeah, it would be interesting if... Oh man, what could be there? Just your wildest imagination. What could be there?
Treasures.
Gold.
Oh, imagine like a secret diary or something, you know.
Yeah, perhaps there's some storage space and some old books would be cool.
I mean, 1932, that was before the war, the second war, so maybe...
There have been more wars, but then
the
World
War, obviously. Yeah. When I say the war, I mean the World War.
And these parts of the world where we live, the war
means the world war. So yeah, I don't know. I'm gonna guess there's nothing up there, but
yeah,
it would be cool. Sad thing is, we won't move in until December, January, so it will be quite a long wait.
Quite a while. Yeah, but you'll
maybe.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how soon you'll open the secret attic.
So that was it.
There's another thing we should say. You have been hearing strange things in the audio quality.
Exactly. So one of our viewers pointed this out on episode 2.
We don't have viewers.
I meant listeners. Yeah. Listeners pointed this out. In episode 2, you can hear it sounds like this.
No, don't hit the table.
So it sounds like
a knocking.
A knocking. That was the word I was looking for.
A sort of a thud.
Yeah.
A sort of banging.
So we try to pay attention, like that we are not moving too much.
That we're not slamming our elbows on the table.
Yeah, exactly. But it seems that the knocking sound, the mysterious knocking sound.
Yeah.
The mysterious knocking noise. is still there. So.
We're not quite sure where it comes from. You hear it. I have heard it in the times you pointed it out, but I don't hear it when I'm just regularly listening to the episode or if I'm editing.
Yeah, so, but like you use
regular earbuds. Yeah.
And I have like a all surround.
Yeah.
You have headphone.
You have better quality audio equipment
exactly.
than I do.
So that's why I hear it probably better than you. But the sound is there. It will probably be there in this episode. So we're sorry. We are figuring out what it is.
Into it.
But we literally have no clue what it is. Okay. So we just wanted to point it out. And with that, I think we can start with the...
Yeah, we can. Let's just begin with the obvious. The Somerton Man is a...
Oh, you're just gonna start?
No. No, don't go too... I'm just trying to formulate the words in my head.
Okay.
The Somerton Man mystery is a thing that I researched. You had nothing to do with this.
No, that's right.
We ended last week's episode, and amongst ourselves, we just spoke about the next episode. And I asked you, do you know what the Somerton Man is? And you... said that you had no clue.
No.
So I decided to make an executive decision, and I told you don't research anything. The outro I made, because if our listeners might have recognized that you always do the outros,
mm-hmm.
and now it was me.
Yeah, and I.
And
yeah.
you have, I have told you don't listen to the outro. Don't look at anything from this. Mystery.
And I did not listen. So.
Yeah, so you have no idea what the Somerton Man is.
No, I thought it was a serial killer, but then you said, nope, you don't know anything about it. And I was like, okay, so I guess it's not. I don't know. I guess it is, but I don't know what it... I don't know.
So let's just begin with the Somerton Man mystery. And I'm very interested in what your opinions are,
mm-hmm.
what you think about this... Yeah, this mystery. So, the date is December 1st, 1948.
Mm-hmm.
Somerton Park Beach in Adelaide, South Australia.
Oh, it's in Australia.
It's in Australia.
Okay.
The body of an unidentified man is found sitting on the beach. He was lying with his head against the beach wall, his legs extended, and his feet crossed. Well, just mimic it. Like this.
Oh.
So he's lying with his back to the beach wall. The beach has a steep wall.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I know what he...
Yeah, he was lying against the rocks.
Yeah, I can imagine something.
A position that looks quite similar to someone sleeping.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. He had on his person an unused second-class rail ticket from Adelaide to Henley Beach. It's a suburb of Adelaide, so it was just a small trip.
Mm-hmm.
A bus ticket that was not used... A United States manufactured aluminum
Some people say it's aluminum, other people say it's aluminium. But since we say aluminium in Dutch, let's go for aluminium.
Okay, so a US manufactured aluminium comb. A half empty packet of Juicy Fruit chewing gum. It's an American brand. I couldn't find out if it was sold inside Australia.
I did not know that chewing gum already existed in 1948.
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't really pay it any attention, but now that you mention it, I have no idea when chewing gum was invented.
Me neither.
Okay. He had a Army Club cigarette packet on him,
mm-hmm.
which is a British brand, but the cigarette package contained 7 cigarettes from a different brand. The brand was Kensitas, and it's a Scottish brand. And he had a quarter full box of Bryant and May matches, which is also a British brand.
Okay.
It's quite important that I say which countries it's originated from.
Mm-hmm.
It might come back in the story.
Yeah, because I'm wondering if it's that uncommon for an Australian man in that, like,
it is 1948.
Is it that uncommon to have American and British spies?
It stands out.
Really?
Yeah, he stood out. The image that I've hopefully created at the moment, there's a dead man lying on the beach. He is dressed in a very fancy suit and very fancy. And he has effects on him that aren't Australian, but a mishmash of different nationalities.
Exactly.
So yeah, American stuff and British stuff. So a few witnesses had seen the Somerton Man, because we're gonna call him the Somerton Man from now on.
This
body. Is this man is the Somerton Man.
Oh.
He is who
okay.
we're gonna talk about.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so the Somerton Man is not a serial killer.
No, he is not a serial killer.
He is probably the victim. Okay, I'm not gonna say
no,
anything.
No, just hold on for a bit. Hold on for a bit. So, a few witnesses had seen the Somerton Man the evening before, which would be November 30th, 1948. A couple had seen the Somerton Man at 7 p.m. and they saw him extend his right arm to his fullest and then drop it limply. John Lyons went with his wife on a walk on the beach when he saw the Somerton Man sitting against the beach wall.
Mm-hmm.
So it is the position that he was found. This was around 7 p.m. on November 30th. At 6:50 a.m. the next morning, so
yeah.
December 1st, John went on an early morning swim. He met a friend after he finished swimming. And together, they noticed a group of men gathering around Somerton Man.
Mm-hmm.
John went over to get with his friend, affirmed that the Somerton Man was dead. And so he went home to call the police.
Oh.
I mean, there were no cell phones.
No,
you had to.
Not.
There were not many phones, so you had to go home to use your phone.
That's crazy, actually.
Yeah. It's bizarre for us, but
yeah.
it was how
but
everything
yeah,
went.
Obviously.
The Somerton Man was taken in an ambulance to the hospital where he was pronounced dead.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently something you have to do.
Yeah.
Pathologist John Burton Cleland described the man as such, and I quote, "The man was of British appearance and thought to be aged about 40-45. He was in top physical condition. He was 180 centimeters tall, with grey eyes, fair to ginger-colored hair, slightly grey around the temples, with broad shoulders and a narrow waist, hands and nails that showed no signs of manual labor, big and little toes that met in a wedge shape, like those of a dancer or someone who wore boots with pointed toes,
mm-hmm.
pronounced high calf muscles consistent with people who regularly wore boots or shoes with high heels or performed ballet."
Okay.
And end quote. So the Somerton Man was dressed in a white shirt. He had a red, white, and blue tie, brown trousers, socks and shoes, a brown knitted pullover, and a fashionably gray and brown double-breasted jacket of American tailoring. So he was dressed like an American would be dressed at the time.
Hmm. That's odd.
I'll show you a picture of the Somerton man.
Oh.
This was a picture taken of him. We'll put it on the Instagram as well.
Can we do that? It's
I mean, it's just a dead man. So
it won't Instagram bully.
I don't know, maybe. But anyway, there's a picture of him when he picture that they taken from him in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And here's a picture that they reconstructed.
Yeah.
Of him.
He looks like a wealthy American man.
He's a very handsome man. I think he's
I guess he's if I were his age, I would probably also think he was handsome.
Yeah, so he's
I'll put it like that.
He looks 40 to 45, I think.
I would say
they're not that far off with their estimation.
Yeah.
And you also see his tie. It's also the correct color.
Yeah, exactly.
His clothes had no labels on them. He did not carry a hat, and he had no wallet with him.
Hmm.
So these might be strange statements for us, but
back then, everyone wore a hat, right?
Yeah, everyone wore a hat at that time. So a man walking around without a hat stood out.
Mm-hmm.
His clothes had no labels. That's something that I want to explain a little bit more. Nowadays, our clothes are very mass-produced.
Yeah.
So every article of clothing is practically the same. It doesn't really matter if you lose like a scarf or something, or if you lose a shirt.
Mm.
At that time, mass production of clothing wasn't that far advanced as it is now.
Yeah.
So every single item that was made had a label on them. I read that the labels always stayed on, because if you had a coat, like say a Gucci coat, I don't know if Gucci existed then, but you have a very expensive coat,
yeah,
and you want to sell that coat, if it had the original label on them, you could be 100% certain that the clothing was authentic and original.
Oh yeah, but that's still with lots of brand clothing.
Yeah, is it?
I actually found a...
if you go to a thrift store?
Yeah, I found a secondhand Dolce & Gabbana turtleneck sweater.
Yeah.
For 10 euros.
Oh, 10 euros.
Knew you would pay like 400.
Yeah, that's
euros.
Not a lot. 10 euros.
So, and the label also... I'm not an expert on these things, but as far as I can tell, the label looks pretty real.
This,
so,
the clothing had no labels is a thing, because labels made it authentic, made it good for resale. The resale value was good, was better if it didn't have a label.
But you did say that the jacket was of American tailoring. How would they know without labels?
The way his clothing was stitched was a way of stitching that was only done in America.
Oh.
It wasn't the stitching that it was Australian.
Damn, that's very specific.
Yeah.
Wow.
It really was that specific.
Damn,
I believe a sort of V shape that they stitched, and that wasn't something that was done in Australia.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah. So even though it was so long ago, it was in 1948.
Mm-hmm.
It was really remarkable how they deciphered these things and how figured these things out.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Also, no labels meant that there wasn't an identification of him, because most people at that time used the label to write their name on.
Oh, yeah.
You know, as kids, once we go to school and we had our gym uniform.
Exactly.
Your mom and my mom did as well. I assume that your mom did it as well.
Yeah.
So you wrote your name on it.
Indeed.
They did that at that time too.
Yeah.
But with every article of clothing.
Yeah.
An autopsy was conducted on him.
Mm-hmm.
And the pathologist who did the autopsy estimated the following. And I quote, "The heart was of normal size and normal in every way. Small vessels not commonly observed in the brain were easily discernible with congestion. There was congestion of the pharynx." Pharynx, yeah. "There was congestion of the pharynx, and the gullet was covered with whitening of superficial layers of the mucosa,
with a patch of ulceration in the middle of it. The stomach was deeply congested. There was congestion in the second half of the duodenum. There was blood mixed with the food in his stomach. Both kidneys were congested, and the liver contained a great excess of blood in its vessels. The spleen was strikingly large, about 3 times normal size. There was destruction of the center of the liver lobulus, revealed under the microscope. Acute gastric hemorrhaging, extensive congestion of the liver and spleen, and congestion to the brain. End quote.
Damn.
A lot of information, yeah. A lot of medical terms. Every single time they say congestion, it's just the blood that's in the veins that hardens.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah. I wasn't sure.
That's what congestion.
That okay. And is that
the congestion of the pharynx? The gullet was covered with whitening of superficial layers of the mucosa with a patch of ulceration in the middle of it. It's the gullet, the stomach, the intestines. It's at the beginning of the intestines, I believe, is the gullet. Was ruptured. It had the inner lining of the gullet came loose, and there was a little tear in it. That's just what that means. I believe that all these things I said aren't really that uncommon. It's not really something that you can point at and say he had a heart attack or he died of a stroke.
Mm-hmm.
All these things doesn't point that way.
I was gonna ask, like, when you die, like, I'm not entirely sure what happens to your body when you die, like. So I was wondering, like,
yeah.
The hardening of the blood is...
Yeah, the hardening of the blood is normal.
It's normal, okay.
Like, the hemorrhaging and the excess of blood, that's all pretty normal.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, where would it go? He had no outward marks of... He had any cuts or he had
mm-hmm.
any... he wasn't strangled, anything along those lines. It was just a man who lied down and died. That was how all of it looked.
Except for the few curious remarks that
yeah.
the labels were gone, he was missing a hat, his wallet. Maybe it could have been that his corpse was robbed after he died, but then again, why would the labels be missing?
He also didn't, I mean, if he had his wallet on him, he really didn't look disturbed or anything. I mean, he wasn't rolled over.
Yeah, true.
He did look like he was robbed. He just didn't have any identification on him.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
So the time of death was estimated at around 2 a.m. on December 1st. So he was found at 7 a.m.
Time of death was on December 1st?
Yeah.
And the one person saw him on November 30th.
So, November 30th is the day before December 1st.
So he was already lying in when he
well,
was not
there. If the people who saw him on November 30th, they saw him when he was still alive.
He was actually still alive.
They estimated that he died at 2 a.m.
What? So he was actually lying there.
So, you know,
alive.
The couple who saw him raise his hand and drop it.
Yeah?
Well, obviously he was still alive at that time. A couple hours later he died.
Oh, yeah, he raised
so
his hand.
So he was already in a position that he died in.
So he was probably waiting for help or something.
That's not... It's an assumption you can make.
Yeah.
We can be certain. I mean...
Yes? Or...
It might be very weird at the time. It gets weirder.
Okay.
I believe the way they checked to make the estimation of 2 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
was by measuring the rigor mortis. I've told you what rigor mortis was. It's the stiffening of the corpse.
Yeah, right.
So apparently I think they checked his ears by how stiff his ears are. I read that really fast. I saw that really fast somewhere and thought maybe it's an interesting thing to bring up.
Yeah.
Could just be bullshit.
We are not experts.
No, we are not experts. So the pathologist concludes, I am quite convinced the death could not have been natural. The poison, I suggest, was barbiturate or a soluble hypnotic. So the pathologist who did the autopsy believes that the Somerton man was poisoned.
Poisoned, okay.
Yeah. by like a barbiturate. I believe that a barbiturate is a very strong painkiller. And mm-hmm. I believe that hypnotics are what is used in anesthesia.
Okay.
Among other things. Mm-hmm. It's also, I think, a combination of barbiturate and hypnotics is what is modern day execution with an injection. I believe that that's those two are present
yeah.
in that cocktail, because it's a cocktail, one drug that makes you fall asleep, another that stops your heart, stops your breathing.
Okay, no.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know.
Yeah, I don't really know that much about it either.
Yeah, I guess poison is a logical
yeah.
one for this one, I guess.
Yeah, I believe that, I'm not quite sure, but like spleen being strikingly large, I think that's one of the things that is very striking about poison. And also
mm-hmm.
The liver being filled
yeah.
with blood.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But I'm not quite sure. I don't know anything about poisoning.
Yeah, me neither.
And I don't know anything about autopsy, anatomy. I don't know anything about that. So
me neither.
Good subject we chose. Okay. So his body was embalmed a few days later on December 10th. This is apparently a practice that the police uses when they are unable to make a positive identification. This was, however, the first time such an action was needed.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
But it's not the first John Doe out there.
Yeah.
Why was this one?
I don't really know if it's the first. Obviously, it's not the first one, but I think that the whole embalming process was the first time it
okay.
was used. They probably did other things to other missing persons and unidentified
oh, yeah, okay.
people before that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. At the Adelaide Railway Station on the 14th of January 1949, so a month and a half later, staff found a brown suitcase.
Ooh.
It was checked in after 11 a.m. on November 30th.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be
before his
8 hours before the couple. I will just use the couple who saw him wave on the.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, wave. It's not really waving that he did, but
yeah.
That couple, it's a couple hours before they saw him at the beach.
Mm-hmm.
The suitcase had no labels on it.
Hmm.
So, in modern day, we have, if you use an airplane, they put
yeah.
a plastic label or just a tie on it. It's really easy. At that time, labels were pasted or glued onto a suitcase.
Oh.
And that is very difficult to remove. Because they're literally, with a very strong glue, they're glued onto a suitcase.
Why would they do that? Ruin the suitcase?
Yeah. Yeah. But if you had a suitcase, which was used for travel, without labels on it, you had to painstakingly remove the labels by probably using a sponge, water,
yeah.
soaking it, taking
mm-hmm.
little pieces off, soaking it. So the fact that it had no labels on it is also pretty weird.
Yeah.
The suitcase contained the following, and there's a whole list of it. So
okay, so it's a big suitcase.
It's just a, well, you'll see. So it had a red checked dressing gown, red felt slippers, 4 pairs of undergarments, pajamas, 4 pairs of socks, shaving kit, light brown trousers with sand in the cuffs. That's important. Just wait. A screwdriver, a cut down table knife, a stenciling brush, a pair of scissors, a sewing kit containing, and keep this in mind, orange barber waxed thread,
mm-hmm.
2 ties, 3 pencils, 6 handkerchiefs, 6 pence in coins, a button, a tin of brown shoe polish, scarf, cigarette lighter, 8 large envelopes and 1 small one, 1 piece of light cord, a shirt without a name tag, 1 yellow coat shirt, 2 airmail stickers, an eraser, 1 front collar stud, 1 back collar stud, and a toothbrush and a toothbrush and toothpaste.
Okay.
So it was all the items is someone who's traveling for a few days. It's a regular suitcase.
Huh.
A few important things to remember and to explain. A stenciling brush, you probably know what a stenciling brush is.
No, I didn't
know it either before I researched this. A stenciling,
I probably know, I just don't know in English. Or would I explain it to me?
Tell me if you know. A stenciling brush is an instrument used by officers on merchant ships. It's for stenciling cargo. Because
like
cargo is, yeah, just writing on cargo. Because cargo, apparently you had to be pretty smart to be an officer on a ship who deals with cargo. Because you have to, yeah, the ship has to be level. You can't put all cargo on the left side of the ship, obviously. But it had to do with physics, it had to do with math.
Yeah.
You really had to be pretty smart to do this job. The orange wax thread, the barber thread, is very important, and it is actually what links the suitcase to the Somerton Man.
Mm-hmm.
Because of that wax thread, they believe that the suitcase is the Somerton Man's.
Okay.
It is not a thread that is available in Australia, and it's the same thread that was used to repair the lining in one of the pockets of the pants that the Somerton Man was wearing.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a hole in his pants,
and
it was fixed with that specific thread.
Okay, then, obviously it's his suitcase.
Yeah. His light brown trousers with sand in the cuffs.
That's a weird one.
That's a weird one. And it gives a suggestion that perhaps the Somerton Man wore that pair of trousers, went to a beach or the beach that he was found, and then went back to his suitcase and changed into another pair of pants.
But he went back to the beach.
And then he went back to the beach. If that would be the case, nobody knows why.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's a weird thing.
It is.
Apparently there was also the name Keane, K-E-A-N-E, that was found on a tie, a laundry bag, and on a singlet. However, a search was conducted, and no one with the name Keane was found missing in any English-speaking country.
Okay. But it's not because he's in Australia and he's wearing American and British stuff that he is necessarily
using
from English.
Yeah, or using a correct name.
Yeah, that, or he could be in immigrant from somewhere else in Europe or something.
Yeah. Could be valid.
Yeah.
Could be valid. Could be valid.
Yeah.
An inquest was done a few days after the discovery of the body, and a few new discoveries were made. So it is noted that the Somerton Man's shoes were clean and appeared to have been polished recently. And this evidence fits in a theory that the body may have been brought to the Somerton Park beach after his death. So, because his shoes were clean and still polished, some people think that he was killed somewhere else and then placed there.
Mm.
There was also an eyewitness account who said that she saw two men carrying another well-dressed man. But I didn't find anything more except just a small footnote about that.
And like, I also think it's like a thing when media releases information like that, like for, like it's possible that somebody
killed
somewhere else.
Yeah.
There's somewhere
who's
gonna be like, oh, but yeah, I saw it. It's not real.
It's always, there's a lot of tips that roll in with police investigations where this just false leads or just made up.
Exactly.
It was in this case as well. There were a lot of false leads.
Because, I mean, there was already the witnesses who saw him wave.
Mm-hmm.
That was not a probably wave.
There was also no evidence of vomiting or convulsions on him. So, which are two main reactions to poison.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're poisoned, your body, the first thing it does is vomiting. It's just a natural reaction. He didn't have anything. It wasn't the case with the Savage the Man.
Yeah.
Around the same time of the inquest, a tiny piece of rolled up paper was found in one of the Somerton man's pants pockets.
Okay.
On the paper was printed the words Taman Shut.
Okay.
It's translated from Persian. It means ended or finished. So if you... It's also... Taman Shut is also synonymous with Somerton man. Sometimes you'll see Somerton man.
Yeah,
sometimes you'll see
Taman
Shut case.
Yeah.
So...
Oh, Taman Shut is not a name.
No.
I thought it was a name.
It's a weird... It's just Persian for ended or finished.
Oh. Okay, well, then it's clear. It's okay.
These words can be found on the last page of the Rubaiyat of Omar Khayyam. It's a translated poetry book.
Okay.
So it's literally on the last page of that book.
Yeah.
It's Taman Shut. And
Okay.
The feeling that I got is that Taman Shut in this situation is like how you know how they ended old movies with fa.
Or the end.
The end.
Yeah.
Well, that's the feeling that I got with it.
It's probably what was for the poetry book, you know. It was the end of the poetry book.
Yeah, that's the thing that I got. But nowhere does anyone say that. Oh. Does anyone say that that's the case?
Oh.
They all say it's the last word in the book. It means ended or finished. No one says, oh, it probably means that it's just the end of the book.
Yeah.
But it doesn't really matter, actually. But it's just a weird thing.
Yeah. So now it's the end of his life.
Could be.
It's ended. It's finished. The job is done.
Perhaps.
That's what I'm thinking. It's
perhaps
a
you're...
It's...
It's a... The thing that's starting to brew in your mind at this moment is a theory that's very prevalent in this case. So, obviously this was a huge clue, so police started looking for that specific book with the piece torn out of.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it was actually a piece of the book. I thought it was a piece of paper written.
No.
It was actually a piece of a
single book.
Oh, she says okay.
Yeah, okay. So
okay.
I told you it would get weirder and weirder.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're not there yet.
Okay.
It still needs to get more weird.
Alright.
So Ronald Francis found the book and turned it into the police. So the actual book was found.
Oh, that was... When?
I believe a couple weeks later.
That's fast.
But more on that in a bit.
Okay.
Really, more on that in a bit.
Almost as it wants to be found.
Yeah. So, Detective Sergeant Lionel Lean used pseudonyms for public statements to protect the witness's privacy.
Yeah.
So, Ronald Francis has never been officially identified because Ronald Francis is a pseudonym.
Yeah, okay.
So, we don't really know the validity of this find. We don't know who actually found the book.
Yeah.
There are multiple stories of how the book was found. One says that the book was found, and I quote, just after that man was found on the beach at Somerton. End quote. What? What a weird accent was that?
Yeah, I was like, what?
Did I just started speaking Irish?
I don't know what accent it was, but it was something.
What the hell's wrong with me? Let's just keep that in. Let's just keep that in. So, just after that man was found on the beach at Somerton, so it's very specific, which means that the book was found probably a couple hours later or a day later.
Okay.
Another says that the book was found in an unlocked car parked in Jetty Road, Glenelg? Yeah, Glenelg. And even then, either in the rear floor well or on the back seat.
So the book was found in a car?
In a car, I believe that Jetty Road was a few hundred meters farther away.
Okay.
Yeah. In the book that has been found, which was identified as the correct book, because it had the words Taman shirt ripped out.
Yeah, the piece of paper.
Yeah. There were faint indentations on that book. As if someone had wrote something down and used the book as a hard surface to put paper on.
Oh, okay, I know
yeah,
what you mean.
You know what I mean.
Yeah.
So, a code. A code that has not been cracked to this day.
Oh, damn it.
Okay, I'll show you the code.
Okay, I'm gonna crack it. No, I won't.
This is the code.
That is exactly
That's
what was
exactly
written on
what
the
was
book.
Written there. M or W?
Wait. Can I see that at a closer one?
I can...
It's probably a W because there are two similar M's here which do not look like that one, so that's probably a W.
Could be. Let's be honest, it just looked like a random...
Tamon. Something. I'm
You're
going
really
for this.
To crack it. It hasn't been cracked to this day, and there's been a lot of people who tried to crack this.
I have no clue how to crack codes,
it's
but
just
I always try.
It's just a random jumble of letters.
It's not a random jumble of letters.
It's
a meaning.
It just looks like a random jumble of letters, to be honest. This line, the second line, has been scratched through.
Yeah.
It's just has been deliberately. There's also been this symbol, which no one knows exactly what that means. It's just a line with a cross through.
Okay, but that could be ink spill.
I mean, an ink spill in an indentation.
Hmm?
Ink spill in an indentation.
But
they probably so. These letters were indented into the paper.
Yeah.
They probably put a paper on it and just used the scratch method so they could see what letters
but
were indented.
How did the indentation happen?
Because
they
someone
put a
paper
on
and
it?
Then wrote it.
Yeah,
but
so
that piece of paper is not in existence anymore.
I don't mean ink spill as an ink spill. I mean like...
Some scratched it out.
Yeah, like a scratch.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
something like
yeah.
that. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Trying to say.
Yeah, I understand. Also, that's
oh, it's a W. Damn, good.
About, it is a W. It's been unclear if it is an M or a W, but it's widely believed to be W because of the distinct difference, like you say, with the other M's.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's also the deleted line, the M-L-I-A-O-I. It's just... Nobody knows what it is.
But look how similar this line, this scratched out line, is to this, to the... Like, second next one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm.
It could be... Yeah, I know what you mean. I understand what you mean.
Mm-hmm.
It's just... It hasn't been cracked.
That's insane.
And police have tried to crack this and... Yeah.
How can you... not crack? Like,
I mean, the Zodiac's code isn't cracked today.
The
Zodiac? The Zodiac killer?
Oh, I heard about that,
yeah.
But I don't know the...
Well, the Zodiac killer also led a few decoded messages. He famously killed, and I believe they found some coded messages of his. And the coded messages were, to this day, not yet been deciphered. A few of them have been. A few of them have been. I believe two of them have been deciphered. And I believe that the first one was done by the police, and the second one has been done by, I think, a high school teacher and her husband, who decided one day to just try to crack the code, and they actually did it.
Wow.
Yeah.
The only thing I can imagine is the person who wrote that, he remembered letters in his head for other letters. For example, he would use the letter M for an A.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Only he remembered what letter he
used. Only he had the cipher.
So that is
yeah.
that would be pretty impossible to crack, I think.
Yeah, that is correct.
Maybe not, maybe it was something saying it, something super dumb. But
yeah, it could just be a grocery list.
It's yeah.
It could just be a grocery list, but
it's
pretty bizarre.
It's a code that has never been used before, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Otherwise someone would have been able to crack by now,
yeah.
So it's a code that this person
it's
made up.
Probably very unique to him or to his close circle,
mm-hmm.
if that would be the case.
Probably only him. If more people knew about it.
If he wrote it down. Not because he had the
no, I'm just
piece
talking
of
about
the
person who wrote it down.
Yeah, okay. I thought you meant
no,
Summer to Man.
I have no,
no
clue who wrote
no.
it down. I'm
I,
the person
neither
who wrote
do
it
down. I. Neither do I.
It's
yeah.
I want to crack the code. I want to know what it means, but I can't crack code.
So
I've been thinking about something else about the code. Like, if you try to crack a code, you think in English, right?
Yeah.
But the name that you mentioned before?
Tamanshut, is in Persian.
No, well, that was Persian. So the whole book was Persian.
Yeah.
But there was another name, you say Keen?
Yeah.
Keen? Keen, it was Keen.
Keen?
You say K-E-A-N-E, you said.
Yeah.
So Keen was, is
the
also
name, the
English
name that
name?
Was found on the tie. The items, yeah, the tie and the items in his suitcase.
Yeah. So we are not looking at an English code.
Yeah. What do you think? In what language would it be then?
Either Persian or some whatever has to do with Keen. Keen is a Irish, Gaelic, or Old English of Old English origin.
Yeah.
So it is kind of related to English, just not modern English.
Yeah.
But Gaelic though. So Persian. Where's Persian? Persia. Iran.
Ah, Iran.
Oh, I didn't know that actually.
So you
it's just not in English.
It's not in English. I think that police would have investigated
they
that.
They probably would, but it could have been in other language as well, you know? Like
yeah. But it's a good theory.
I know, right?
I think it's very, very cool of you to just think about that in like 2 minutes. We took a 2 minute break.
Yeah, we took a 2 minute break. I was just looking at the code, like I was just looking at the picture and I was like, but what if it's not in English?
Maybe learn a different language and try to decipher in that language?
Duolingo app.
okay.
Okay, no, but either way.
So.
Continue.
Let's continue. A phone number has also been found in the book. It was a phone number belonging to Jessica Thompson. She's a nurse living in Mosley Street on Glen Elg. It should be about 400 meters away from where the Somerton Man was found. Thompson herself has always denied knowing who the Somerton Man was, but after her death, she died in 2007 or 2009.
Mm-hmm.
After her death, her daughter went on Channel 9's 60 Minutes, saying she believed her mother knew the dead man. That was in 2014.
Mm-hmm. Damn, that's...
Yeah.
That's recent.
That's very recent.
And I think that might confirm the theory. No, it may probably not confirm it,
yeah.
But it might add up to the theory that he was probably killed by a hitman or is
yeah.
that what I'm saying?
An assassin?
Yeah, an assassin. And this nurse, Jessica, was probably afraid, like, oh my god, maybe they're
yeah.
coming after me.
She always made, she always. The media was never able to use her name or her face because she didn't give permission for that.
Mm-hmm.
Which is
for a reason.
For privacy.
Yeah.
Could just be for privacy, but could also be to protect herself.
Uh-huh.
There is a theory going around that the Somerton Man knew Jessica, knew her very well, and that her, I believe, that they had a child together and. I don't know why that they had a child together and
this woman
yes
her daughter
no not her
oh.
I don't believe it's her daughter. I think it should be her son, but I'm not really that sure. I looked at it briefly and didn't find it really that plausible because it's a lot of what ifs and could be's and
I mean
when Jessica was shown a plaster of the Somerton Man this at the time that he died, a few days later, the investigation after they found the phone number showed her a plaster of him.
A plaster?
So a plaster is what they took of his face.
Oh, they made a
yeah,
plaster.
Yeah, they
his
also
face.
They embalmed his body.
Yeah.
But they later on a later date made a took a plaster of him.
Why?
I don't know why you should do that, but probably to have a very accurate way of identifying.
For identification purposes.
It's for identification purposes.
I figured.
Because even an embalmed body.
Yeah, obviously still.
Yeah,
kind of
composes,
yeah.
decomposes. So they took a plaster of him. I saw the plaster. They took the plaster of him when he was already... Yeah, of course he started decomposing, but his skin was very sagging. And he looked older than what he was. The pictures I've shown, he didn't look like that on the plaster.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. When Jessica was shown the plaster, she claimed not to know him. But Detective Lean, I told you about Detective Lean, he described her reaction as completely taken aback, to the point of giving the appearance that she was about to faint.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay, well, first reactions always tell a lot.
Apparently she didn't want to take a second look. So she didn't, didn't want to take a second look.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that they took her for a second time to look at the plaster, and then her reaction was... she also claimed to not know him. Still claimed to not know him. So, the Somerton man was buried in Adelaide's West Terrace Cemetery. His burial was attended by the Salvation Army, reporters, and police. You know what the Salvation Army is?
Not entirely.
It's a Christian church. It's a charity.
Oh.
It's a charity. You can buy clothes there, secondhand clothes.
Really?
Yeah, people take stuff that they don't want, give it to the Salvation Army, and they sell it at a cheaper price. It's a thrift, sort of like a thrift store.
And what did they do with...
Well, the Salvation Army attended his funeral.
Oh, attended?
Yeah, they attended his funeral because they believed that no man should be buried alone. So there's always...
That's not nice.
In these cases, there's always someone from the Salvation Army who attends the
funeral. That's actually pretty nice.
Yeah. I thought that was a nice touch as well.
I like that.
The body, however, has been exhumed very recently.
Oh, really?
19 May 2021.
Wow. That is literally only...
2 months ago. That is exactly 2 months ago.
That is exactly 2 months ago. What the hell?
Police are trying to obtain DNA for further analysis. There are no results known at... this time, but obviously we'll keep an eye on this.
That is so interesting.
That is so...
Is there a reason why they reopened the case? Or, I mean, I guess it was never closed, but it went cold.
It always was an open case, and
but it went cold. So.
It went cold, obviously. It probably practically went cold the moment they found him. So, but what I've read about the new investigation is there was a lot of not outcry, but a lot of interest in the public to know more about this man. They wanted to exhume his body. The public wanted the police to exhume the body, but I believe the Attorney General is the correct term. I'm not 100% sure. I believe the Attorney General at that time didn't believe that there was enough interest from the public, so he didn't want to reopen the case or didn't want to exhume him again. Recently, there's been a different attorney general, and she has said she gave permission for the exhumation.
That's insane.
Apparently, it was quite difficult to get him. There was apparently a very...
he was buried in
He was buried... Obviously, he's buried in Australia, and in a, as I said, Adelaide's West Terrace Cemetery.
Okay,
but
okay.
The ground was very clay-like. So
oh,
it was
no.
difficult
it
to...
It was literally difficult.
Yeah, it was
okay,
literally difficult to
because
get.
Because it was... country or something like
no,
okay,
no,
guys,
it was literally difficult to get him out.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wanted to just say, like, in the episode with the vampires, we said that it's very disrespectful to exhume a body. I do want to note that this is quite
a... this is a different case.
A different case, because this might bring peace to family, maybe his ghost, I don't know.
This might just solve the case.
Yeah, this is different, so just put that out.
I've also, it will take some time.
Yeah.
I believe that they estimate that the investigation will take about a year.
Okay.
So,
we will come back to you in a year.
Yeah, that would be very cool.
Damn.
At this time next year, they suspect that it will probably be in September next year, even. So it'll be more than
a
year.
Year.
Yeah.
Wow, that's quite difficult to put a timestamp to, like, put time on that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, we are going to solve this in a year.
It could just...
probably not. Maybe not. I don't know.
I also, I believe, like, You know 23andMe?
Do I know that?
It's a service, an American service, I believe. Oh. And they sell these heritage kits. It's a tube. You have to fill it with your spit.
Oh, I know what you mean. Yeah. Okay, yeah. I didn't know the name of it, but you're a different place.
Yeah. And I believe that there, if you wanted to know about your DNA and where you're from, it'll take about 2 months, I believe.
Something
like 2 months. And then you have results, and it's with a database, and they actually... Sometimes you can find people who are in your family who you don't know are in your family. You can find like a lost great grandfather or like a cousin twice removed.
I would love to do something like that.
I
want to
do that as well.
Expensive.
Yeah.
It's 200 euros or something.
Yeah, it's expensive, but it's. I don't think it's too expensive.
No, but I think it's expensive and you still aren't that sure if it's that trustworthy.
I think it's trustworthy. It's just they're looking into your DNA. I really want to know. Like, they give you a result of how many percentages, like you're 20% Western European, you're 15% Sub-Saharan African. That's something that is really interesting.
North European.
Yeah, I'll probably North European.
I have no clue what I would be.
Yeah, but they go into quite a bit of detail. And that's something that I'm very interested in. Yeah. Anyway, so there are some theories of who the Somerton Man is.
Okay.
Supposedly, he was an Australian Army lieutenant named Alf Boxall. He had given his copy of the Rubaiyat to Jessica.
Mm-hmm.
This man did that during World War II, because Jessica was a nurse during World War II.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. However, Boxall was found in July 1949 in Sydney. He was still alive.
Oh.
And the final page of his copy of the Rubaiyat was still intact.
There's
also a theory that the Somerton Man was a spy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably what you've been thinking.
That's what
that
I've
he was
thinking.
A spy. And I think most people think he's a spy. It's also when I first heard about the Somerton Man, that's the first thing I thought as well, that he was a spy. So, the man was supposedly American, had American and British effects on him. Two locations close to Adelaide were of interest to spies, and his death coincided with the reorganization of Australian security agencies.
Mm-hmm.
He would have slipped between the cracks. Apparently, Alf Boxall was involved in intelligence work, which is also a very interesting thing I found out.
Alf Boxall, that's the first
Alf Boxall, the army lieutenant who was thought to be the Somerton Man.
Mm-hmm.
He was apparently also into intelligence work.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just an interesting thing. I find it very coincidental.
Yeah, indeed.
The newspaper The Advertiser gave the possible identification as E.C. Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
The day after this was been printed into the Advertiser, Johnson himself identified him at a police station.
Oh.
So the man read that, they thought that he was sent to me. I'll just go to the police and tell them that I'm still alive. He's supposedly a 63-year-old woodcutter named Robert Walsh, or he's a missing mining station worker. He could also be a Swedish man. He could just be a Swedish man. There's apparently a thing in that a case that's been linked with the Somerton Man in Sweden. A man who disappeared there. They think he could be the Swedish man could be the Somerton Man.
So the code could be Swedish.
Could be Swedish.
No, it's not Swedish. It does not have.
It has the O with the dots on it. No,
it's not Swedish.
He could be H. C. Reynolds. A military ID with a photo issued in the US to a British man was compared to a photo of the Somerton Man, and they apparently had a close resemblance.
Okay, yeah.
However,
have close resemblance.
However, searches of the United States National Archives, the United Kingdom National Archives, and Australian War Memorial Research Center has failed to find any records of H.C. Reynolds.
Hmm.
Some independent researchers believe the ID card belongs to Horace Charles Reynolds, so H.C. Reynolds, mm-hmm. Horace Charles Reynolds, but he died in 1953, so he can't be the Somerton Man.
Oh.
Yeah. So a lot of people could be Somerton Man. I think in the first weeks they had 13 possible identifications of who he could be. But yeah, we still don't know to this day who he is.
That's the end?
That's the end of the Somerton Man research.
Oh wow.
There was a lot of stuff I could have gone more deeper into. Or less. Maybe less. Some things were maybe a bit exaggerated.
I think it was quite.
Yeah. But I just thought this case was very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And it is one of Australia's biggest mysteries to this day.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, thank you for... You know,
not what you thought.
Researching this
yeah,
case,
yeah.
And it was quite a surprise because it was my idea for this episode to take on a true crime,
yeah.
Case.
Yeah, you wanted to do a true crime, and
yeah,
I suggested, hey, what about the Somerton Man?
So that's why.
And you just agreed, and you didn't know what the Somerton Man was.
Yeah, I just thought, oh, it's a serial killer, but I mean, I guess it's true crime. We're not sure.
Well, he has been killed.
I mean,
he
yeah,
has. There has been a crime committed.
Could it have been suicide?
There's also people who believe that it's suicide.
Because I mean, you.
Because,
but then
because
again,
the Rubaiyat of Omar Khayyam, the Rubaiyat, it is the general the book.
Yeah.
It's where the Taman Shud
yeah.
came out of. It also the general theme of the book. The poems
yeah.
in the book sometimes resemble death, and people believe that this is perhaps linked with if he could have committed suicide.
Mm-hmm.
But how? I don't really know how he could have committed suicide then.
Yeah, exactly, because he would have had to inject the poison
yeah.
in another location and then went to the beach. But it kind of looks like...
Poison doesn't work that way. You can't inject. I mean, it doesn't
slow poison?
Really.
Isn't there anything like
I don't
slow
really
poison?
Think there's a slow. How would slow poison work?
I don't know, like slow poison.
You just inject it in your veins and then tell it to just wait. Once it's in your vein, it starts going to your heart and.
Okay, but it's.
But probably with a delayed effect,
yeah,
could be.
It could be, right? Because there are certain. Like, I'm thinking about certain drugs. Some drugs take effect immediately and some drugs take effect after
yeah,
an hour.
If you ingest
time.
Them.
Depends.
Ingestion does that, like with medication and
yeah,
yeah, that's true ingestion. If you inject a medicine,
but is it been confirmed it was injected?
Well, no, that's part of the mystery. They don't
so.
Know how the poison would have been. I mean, they think he might have ingested the poison, but they also believe that because there was still food in his stomach, the food was. They believed ingested 2 hours before he died.
Mm-hmm. And maybe the food was poisoned? They probably would have
they
known
checked
that.
The
yeah.
food probably.
Damn.
It really did it's just a one big mystery. It's just
it
one
is.
Big mystery. And I really hope, I so much hope that the DNA research that they're gonna
yeah.
do has positive results
exactly.
that we can finally rest this case. Because it's a mystery since 1948.
It is. It's... Damn, it's a long time.
Yeah. He could...
Wow, that would be great if they actually...
Yeah. I know...
Solved this. What the hell?
I know America and Australia had a good connection after World War II.
Mm-hmm.
There was a sort of fraternal bond.
Mm-hmm.
I just listened to a podcast about it. There was a fraternal bond, I believe, between the Australian infantry and the American Marines. They sort of fought in the same theaters. They never fought together, but they had a close yeah, experience, and which meant that a lot of Australian soldiers, once they were on leave or they had time off, spent it with American soldiers, and they always had a really good fraternal bond.
Mm-hmm.
And America after World War II had a few bases in Australia. They still do, I believe. And there was always an American presence in Australia, so the ties between America and Australia has always been good.
Yeah.
So that could be, that could also sort of explain why, and yeah, if an outspoken American, such as believed, you know, Somerton Maugham was, that could also explain why he would be in Australia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the theory of him being a spy is the most plausible. I mean,
do you want it to be the most plausible? Do you want it to be a spy? And because that will make the story so James Bond-esque, to be honest.
Not necessarily, but I just feel like why I think that is the most plausible theory is because, well, one, it has been a worldwide known case.
Yeah.
And there has been literally no one who's been like, oh my god, I think it's him. Like a few names that you mentioned, but this all been quickly
mm-hmm.
denied.
Yeah.
The people who did, like, were asked, like, do you know this man? Were like, no, I don't know.
You mean like Jessica then?
Like Jessica?
Yeah.
So it was just him, no family. No name.
He is
a few possessions. He was traveling.
There is so much known about this case. There is so much that can be certain,
mm-hmm.
and there is still is not much known about this case. It's such a bizarre case.
And who are the most secretive people in the world?
Well, there's two people who are two types of people who
mm-hmm.
are very secretive: spies
mm-hmm.
and con men.
Yeah.
Common.
Exactly. I don't think he's a common. They still have family, so, but...
I mean, yeah. Yeah, it's just... nothing's known about this case. Yeah. Any last things about Somerton Maugham?
No. I don't know. I think I'll probably give it some more thought after this.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that in the following year, while they investigate, I will
mm-hmm.
be following up on this because that's kind of the person I am.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I will be thinking about this, and I think we'll see in a year maybe if we do
hopefully
a part two episode on this.
Or maybe I don't really believe. Maybe it could be a part two, but they really should figure out a lot of information
mm-hmm.
in a short time then.
Yeah.
I probably think that will be one of the episodes in the future. We'll just say, "Oh, an update about the Somerton Maugham."
Okay, just this won't be possible, I think, because I just said I will be following up on the research. But imagine, in a year from now, I tell my theories in the next episode, and you say exactly what happened. So when the case is solved, you know, the case is solved.
Yeah.
I don't know what has happened yet. Like
yeah.
I did, like for this case, I did not research anything about.
Yeah.
So we do that again. So I come up with my own theory.
Yeah.
And then you say what actually happened.
Ah, okay.
You see, you know what
I'm saying? So you mean we'll make a short recap episode,
yeah.
and I'll just describe the case in short. I'll
mm-hmm.
ask you, so Ray, what do you think happened?
Yeah.
You'll say your theory, what happened,
yeah.
and I'll say, actually, what really happened was... And then I'll tell
yeah.
you what happened.
Exactly.
I don't really...
I don't know if it's possible.
I don't think it's possible. I think both of us will be looking at
yeah,
very
exactly.
closely.
I feel like I will be looking at this closely.
Yeah.
It would be cool, though.
Anyway, I believe everything I said should be correct. I believe that... I didn't make any mistake. However, if I did make a mistake, or if I left something very important out, could always have been the case. Be sure to let us know. I think if we're talking bullshit, you should call us out on our bullshit. So, contact us. And how could people contact us, Ray?
Well, Lawrence, what a good question you asked there. You can contact us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter on They Come Before Dawn, before with BFR on Twitter.
Yeah.
But you can also send us an email. theycomefordonpod@gmail.com.
We're mostly active on Instagram.
Yeah.
A bit on Twitter.
A little bit on Facebook.
I'll start using Twitter more as a...
You're more a Twitter person.
Yeah,
more
I'll start using Twitter more as a...
Perfect.
Lawrence has made another mistake. Here's
yeah.
a correction. Obviously.
Yo, I can make mistakes too.
Yeah, you can. You haven't yet, but...
I don't know. No one has pointed out one, but...
Yeah?
No one,
because
so
obviously you're just perfect and
perfect.
You don't make any mistakes.
Yeah, Philip. I'm not.
So, anyway, dear listeners, thank you all for listening. And
are we going to give a tip, though?
A tip of the week? What do you mean, tip of the week? As
like
in,
a book, a series?
You mean a recommendation?
Oh, yeah. That we are talking about... True crime.
Yeah? You have a recommendation?
I have a recommendation. It's a YouTube channel hosted by Bailey Sarian. And she does murder, mystery, and makeup Mondays. And then she does the little shana-sha. Okay, but anyway.
Wait, what does she do?
So she talks about true crime cases while doing her makeup.
Okay.
And it's super interesting because she... like tells you about the case in something between 40 and 60 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But she does it in such a way, like she's a genius in my opinion. She does it in such a good way. She talks so, it's like you're talking to her.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's not as if you're listening to a documentary or whatever, or watching a documentary. It's like you're both in the room and she's like doing her makeup for the night, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just waiting for her to get ready and she's like talking to you. It's that kind of vibe, and
yeah.
it's amazing. So that's my recommendation for this.
So YouTube
no. Bailey Sarian. That is spelled Bailey.
B-A-I-L-E-Y.
B-A-I-L-E-Y. Sarian is S-A-R-I-A-N. Bailey Sarian.
Okay.
She has 5 million subscribers.
What the hell? Okay, if you're interested in that.
She's good.
Okay.
She's good.
So.
That was my recommendation. Did you have a recommendation?
We're gonna do each.
Oh, not necessarily,
no,
but I thought you were gonna say.
Just,
oh.
We'll use it for another time. Okay, well, thanks, dear listeners. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for actually hosting this.
Oh, it's, yeah, it's a solo host it was.
Exactly.
Yeah, perhaps in the future we'll do this format more, or maybe we'll just do it as a few. Like,
it depends on the case.
You have the things that you're very interested
yeah.
in, and it would be cool if you had a subject that you found so super interesting
mm-hmm.
that you want me to be completely in the dark.
Exactly.
So we could switch the roles. We could try
yeah.
it again. Like
some cases are more interesting for both of us to
yeah.
research on.
Yeah.
Like it has worked really well.
Yeah.
But this case was indeed kind of like it fitted that only one person.
Yeah, I believe so
research.
As well.
And if we were to ever do a episode on, for example, Norse mythology,
yeah.
then this would be a similar one because you can do all the research, which you already know, and I would just listen.
Okay, that's a good. You don't make me out to be a Norse mythology expert. I just know a bit about it.
But you're passionate about it.
I'm passionate about it. That's
so.
That's good. Okay. Anyways, thanks everyone. Thanks for listening.
See you in the next one.
Good night.
Bye.
On the next episode of They Come Before Dawn.
A strange box, sealed with wax, supposedly housing a demon. Never open the box, for when you do, the demon is released. Where does this legend come from? Who is this demon? And why can you find these boxes on eBay? In the next episode, we talk about Dibbit boxes.